Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank God for Sister Angie and her obedience. Thank you, my sister, for obeying God. And you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. But a good word draws a beautiful picture, which is worth a thousand words. So I'm glad to be here today. I'm so glad the Lord has allowed this. Sometimes you wonder if you're going to make it, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And I want to say something very, very profound to you this morning. Don't fake it and think you're going to make it. Because if you fake it, you are not going to make it. Amen. You have got to be honest and upright and forthright with at least you, even if you're going to try to trick me, which I'm nothing to trick. But whatever you do, don't fake it. If you got a situation going on, just say, okay, this is the deal. This is what I'm dealing with. And deal with it. Well, I want to move forward in God. Yeah, right after you deal with this. You deal with this first. Get it straight before God. If it takes a year, you stay there because you're not going to advance any further than that point. Yeah, I don't care how much you, because you know when you go past where you need to be, you're faking it. Okay, you got to grow. You grow in this. You grow in grace, and you grow, and you just have to stay there until it take root, until you get the okay to move forward. If you say I'm going to do it like I want to, well, you're pretty much out there on your own. Anyway, we're in Romans chapter 2. Hello, Johnny. We just talked about some of those subject matters in Romans chapter 1 was pretty rough. And a lot of those subject matter actually do address the issues that we are dealing with today about men wanting to do what they want to do, which is it's their lives. They want to do it. Actually, they really belong to God, but they don't want to obey Him. And they want to dishonor themselves with themselves and dishonor their bodies with all types of strange activities together, and men with men and women with women, and turning away from the natural use of the woman, man turning to man, burning in their lust after each other. And God said, you know, that's going to be judged. He's going to deal with that. He's going to take care of that. And after a point, after God tries to deal with these individuals, and they can't say God never spoke to me or God never showed me, because His word says God has. And He does speak to them. And after a while, He says, go ahead and do what you want to do. I will give you over to a reprobate mind. That's what God will do. That's what disobedience will get you after a while. It's not necessarily immediate, because God is long-suffering. But after a while, he'll give a person over to a useless mind, a mind devoid of judgment, a mind that can't even think right, even if it wanted to think right. It's like folks that say, well, I won't get saved now, but I'll wait until the tribulation, and then I'll get saved. No, you won't. Bible says those that have the opportunity to believe and won't believe, that if they're around during this period, God will send them strong delusions that they will believe a lie. And when God does something like that, it's not too much you can do but believe that lie, believe it or not. And right now, we have the power and the ability to believe truth. But He said, listen, if you heard the gospel and turn away from it, and if you happen to be around, and hopefully I won't be around during the tribulation, I hope you've been taken out of here with all of y'all, so I won't have to deal with that. Anyway, Lord, we thank You for Your word today. Romans, what a wonderful book. And I know, Lord, there are depths in Romans that we will plumb with You by Your Spirit, that will hopefully teach us and set our hearts in order so that we can become greater witnesses for You, and that You can receive a greater glory, and we, Lord, can receive the joy. So we pray for those, Lord, that many unspoken prayers this morning, those that are hurting and have need. We pray for those that have once visited here. We think of one young lady who is now homeless and she's back where she was before, Lord, that you'll protect her. And we'd love to see her again, that we might minister your truth and your life to her. And bless us, Lord, in this word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Paul is writing, and he goes on here in verse 1, and he says, therefore, and I know you must have heard, anytime you see therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. And so it's there because it's a continuation of what was being said in chapter 1. He's continuing on, says in verse 132, says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. That's a self-righteousness. It sounds as though he's saying, the same sin that you're judging someone else against, you are doing yourself. Well, now, you say, wait a minute, I'm not a homosexual. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not doing those things that's mentioned there in Romans chapter 1. And so it can't be saying that, but it's saying something else. It's saying that if you have the audacity to judge others before you judge yourself, you're doing the same thing that they're doing. And also, if you have the ability to judge others and not judge yourself, then a greater judgment is going to be on you, because based upon what you know, it's going to be based upon your knowledge that you claim to know more than those poor sinners over there. And listen, I got a judgment side of me, and it's a strong judgment side of me. And it's a fight every day to not be judgmental. Now, sometimes I kind of slip over there anyway. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Well, he'll point his finger in my face and say, you better get this thing straight. Because if you're not careful, you'll find yourself having to answer for this. And I don't know about you, but I've learned this part. I used to say, I don't know how they could do that. And 2 weeks, I'm in my same in that same situation. Whew. I say, now I know. I didn't really need this. But I've been there. I don't know how in the world they could think. I don't know how in the world they could do thus and such and said, my goodness. And now I'm fighting this thing off and fighting it with every ounce of strength. And you got to be very careful. you got to pray for people when you see them down. You got to pray for them. You got to reach out a helping hand if they will receive it, you see. And at the same time, you be sure that you judge yourself. Be sure that you call sin, sin. Now, you say, well, I'm righteous. Yes, sure you are. And you're in for a rude awakening. Amen. The only, God calls our righteousness filthy rags. You want to claim that? You want to claim that I am as like filthy rags? Because when you do that, based upon what God says, you're saying, I'm like filthy rags. But I don't know about that sinner over there. Wait a minute. You need to have a mirror here and take a closer look at this thing and say, well, bless God, that Lord, I pray for this anyway. Hallelujah. You say you do the same thing. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In other words, God is going to judge by his word. Truth means that which is right. And the truth, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the truth. And he's going to judge according to truth for you and according to truth for me. And I promise you, he's not going to look at me and say, Leroy, what do you think about Wayne? What do you think he did? He's not going to ask me about you. Yeah, well, if he asks you about me, you say he's really done good, then you've been thoroughly tricked. You just don't know me. Amen. I mean, we're in the same boat here. He just called me to do this. See, but when he judges, it's going to be on his word. It's going to be on his truth, and he's going to look at us individually. It's going to be according to his word. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? In other words, they're non-discerning. They are doing like they want to do, what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And you are not judging yourself. You think that because you don't honestly judge yourself, that and you don't do some of those terrible things that you may see done by others, that you will escape? Now, of course, he's talking to the Jews, but listen, he's talking to mankind here. So it's a clarion call here to say, be very clear about who you are and where you're walking. Don't expect to escape this thing. He says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you despise? That means to look down on. It's to look down with disdain. Do you despise the riches of God and the goodness? And his goodness, by the way, is to all men. And the forbearance, that's forbearance is that, what does he do? He holds back. I'm so glad he does not hit me the first time I get tripped up into something. Or the first time I step into something. So sometimes we trip, sometimes we step in. Y'all out there, you're going home now. Sometimes we step into it. I'm going to wait till y'all give me an amen. Sometimes you do. But hopefully not often. Because we are in a battle. This is a warfare. The warfare is between the flesh and the spirit. And for the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary, the one to the other. So you will not do the things that you would. You are in a warfare. Now, you got to recognize that you're in a warfare. Otherwise, you're going to wind up flat on your back more than you'd like to. And if you do not recognize who the enemy is and keep pointing out to Satan keeps doing this to me, and Satan keeps tripping me up, and Satan keeps showing up at this, and Satan. And he's saying, yeah, man, keep on calling me, and your flesh is running rampant on you. Yeah, it ain't me. Hey, it's not me. It's Satan. Look away. Hey, what did Adam say? Adam, did you eat? He said, the woman, she did it. She ate and she gave it to me. In other words, Lord, if you hadn't created this woman with your bright ideas, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. See, that's what Adam is saying. He's pointing the blame away. And every time you say, it's Satan, it's the nature of that old Adam. It's rising up inside of you. And still pointing the blame away. Y'all, we need to look inside and say, wait a minute. Now listen, Satan is to be blamed. Don't misunderstand me. He is to be blamed because he started this sin thing. But now that he has got this thing programmed as you would a computer, amen, it's programmed now. It's a program and it runs the same every time it's activated. Every time you turn, you press on your computer, it checks the keyboard, it checks the hard drive, it checks your disk drive, it checks all your memory and gets everything. And every time it does the same thing, unless you get a virus in there, malware or something in there. And then it'll go check. That virus will be loaded in the same place where it checks. It'll go and it'll pick that up and load it in with your legitimate program. Come on now. Okay, it's the same thing here. You could say Satan loaded a virus into man. Just so we could just talk in today's terminology. I'm sure it's much deeper than that. But if we can understand a virus being loaded on a legitimate operating system, and when God made us, we were a legitimate operating system. And so now when this thing clicks on, it does the same thing. It runs the same checks every time. And now here's something else. You got something that gets your motor running. And you are just fine until that stimulus shows up. And you about to go out your mind. Woo, look, oh man, you know, I need some help. Oh Lord, help. Everybody got that little something that cranks their motor. And that's your warfare right there. Other than that, you're fine. You're doing okay. You say 20,000 Hail Marys and whatever else you do when you pray, and you're doing fine. You're praying all day long. But this thing shows up, and all of a sudden, you're shaking. All right, now. We need to recognize. And it says that the only reason that we repent is because God's good. It's because of His goodness that leads us to repentance. That goodness is, again, He does not zap you as soon as you mess up. His goodness gives you a little more time. His goodness gives you another day. It gives you another week. It'll give you another year. And if you're paying attention, you'll recognize and say, hold on. Something's happening here that's different than I couldn't stop this from happening. Amen. I remember as a young man, I got out of so many scrapes. I see somebody praying for me. I was supposed to have been dead right there. He was supposed to pull the trigger right there. That guy was supposed to cut my throat. They were supposed to beat me down. I was surrounded by a gang several times. They turned around and walked off. Anyway. And I wasn't even saved then. I wasn't even saved then. And they walked off, and we parted together all night that night. He was with me. He was with me. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart charges up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now this is a timely thing here, because it's talking about a hardness of heart. The Greek word is sclerotes, but our word sclerosis comes from that word. The hardness, it's a callousness. It's a stubbornness. It's a spiritual or mental hardness or callousness. And after your hardness, your callousness, and impenitent means unrepentant heart. Not going to change. To repent means to change and go God's way. And so impenitent is unrepentant heart. He says, all you're doing, and listen, I'm not talking to you per se, but this is still good, especially for the unregenerate. All you're doing is you're just saving up, you're treasuring up, you're saving up for yourself wrath against the day of revelation of the righteous judgment, the just judgment of God. And listen, this is way after the millennium, and Revelation 20 and 11 through 15 talks about that. That's the white throne judgment. Thank God I don't, hopefully won't be a part of that. I'm saved as far as I know. And so that won't be ours, but He's telling something. Listen, you need to know this so you'll be able to share it with someone else after the millennium. You say, well, I might not be alive. I might die now. It might be another 500 years. Bible says God knows how to preserve. He knows how to preserve the unjust until the day of judgment, and He knows how to preserve the just until the day of reward. He preserves. You say, well, that's a long time ago. Hey, does time matter in the grave as much as it does while you're walking around on this earth? It's a different situation. It's a whole nother dimension that's going there. And who will render to every man according to his deeds? Now, this talks about different levels of judgment, different levels and different degrees. Luke 12, 47 and 48. Talks about he that knoweth to do good and don't do it shall be worthy of many stripes. He that does not know to do good and still does evil will be worthy of few stripes. So it talks of levels of judgment there. And so when we say, well, everybody's going to be... I can't uncover all of that, but Jesus Himself talked about different levels, many and few. And so that's in the works, and that's probably there already. It's a done deal. It says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And it's not just eternal life in duration. that is a long, long period, because the unjust will also live eternally as well. Everybody lives eternally. Every man, woman, boy, and girl lives eternally. So it's not just talking about eternal life in duration. It's also talking about eternal life in kind and the kind of life. It's difficult to imagine the depth of the eternal life that God has in store for us. I don't know where to even begin to try to explain it, but I can tell you this. I remember reading, it says, in heaven there will be no more crying, no more dying, no more pain. There will be no sun to light upon them, for the Lamb will be the light of that kingdom. With no more worries. Just the emotional parts now. I'm talking about the emotional parts and a little physical part that we won't have that to deal with. Just imagine not ever being confronted with anything that will make you sad again, ever again. Anything that will cause you to cry, never, ever, ever see that again. No bill collectors, and people said amen. No problems with your car. No problems with the house tearing down and needing a roof on the house. No problems with the boss man and folks that are always on your case at work and people in the neighborhood bothering you. None of that. None of that. Everybody's going to be happy, happy, happy. Everybody you see is going to be so full of joy and so glad to see you. It's just a continual blessing, a continual flow of nothing but goodness and blessing and beauty. That's the eternal life. And that's only a few little words just to kind of give you an idea of the eternal life, kind of life that's before us. It's more than that. It's so much more than that. When Jesus appeared, he didn't knock on the door after his resurrection. He just showed up in the room. Boom, there he is, talking to them, freaked everybody out. Would have got me. Just showed up. And he was talking to the men on the road of, what did the master, anyway, the two that was walking after his death, and that's my favorite scripture. Anyway, they walked and talked together, and after he was spent a larger portion of the day with them, after he broke bread with them, he vanished from their sight. They're sitting there, wrote to Emmaus, they're sitting there talking to him, they're talking to him. He's holding your bread. He's holding your bread that you're going to eat, and he breaks it and blesses it, and then he disappears. He picked that bread up. Okay. And we're going to be like him, y'all. And so much more that I couldn't even begin to. I don't know if I could uncover all of this, but I can tell y'all, it's really worth whatever you go through this life. And listen, when you accept Christ, you're another creature. You're no longer a citizen of this world. You're no longer the same. And life will never be the same for you again when Christ comes in like he's supposed to. Never, ever again. You go back to the bar, you feel so out of place. You'll sit there with the beer on the counter in front of you and wonder, what am I doing in here? It's just not the same. I mean, I used to love this old vulgar comic named Richard Pryor. He used to make me laugh so hard I'd fall off the couch and be rolling on the floor laughing. I get scared I laugh so hard. Lord, something gonna happen to me physically. I got saved and went to a movie and I went, oh, that's not funny. It's not the same. It wasn't the same. It wasn't funny to me. All right. Hallelujah. Unto them that are contentious, that means self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And that's having to do with the judgment. Not only that, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But see, he came to the Jew first, so it's only proper that the judgment should hit the Jews first. And in case you think that the Jews are not going to be judged, here is a scripture that you can use that the Jews will be judged. The Jews will be judged. Those unbelieving Jews will be judged along with the unbelieving Gentiles. And the rest of this chapter is going to show us that. So we say, well, they're the chosen children. No, those that are predestined to be saved, yes. But the unbelieving ones, they're going to be judged along with the rest of the unbelieving world because they got the truth first. And then for them to deny the truth and turn away, they're going to hit the judgment. It's going to hit them more. A greater judgment, I believe, will hit them because them having the truth. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Do good, y'all, because glory and honor and peace is yours if you do that which is good. Do good. And listen, verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. That seals this thing about will all of the Jews misjudgment. God is not a respecter of persons. Listen, if your daddy died a sinner, your daddy's going to be judged. I know you love your daddy, but if daddy didn't get it right, God is not a respecter of persons. I wrote this morning, if my own dear mother, truth is truth, if my own dear mother was not walking right, it does not change the truth. And do not think that you're going to lay before God and plead and beg and plead and beg that she went to heaven. It was on her to make that choice. And in America, we hear the truth. We have the availability of the gospel in America. We got Bibles. I got more Bibles than I'll ever read. More versions of the Bible than I'll ever read. And don't, oh God, I did. No, you. In America, we will not have an excuse. And we say that in here as well. It says, for as many, now here's something. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. But not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. For as many as have sinned without the law, shall also perish without the law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. You say, wait a minute. Well, hold on. This thing is saying that when you talk about the law, you're talking about the Jews. When you're talking about without the law, you're talking about the Gentiles. That's the Greek. And so he's talking about the Jew and the Gentiles. Listen, if you sinned outside of the law, you're going to be judged by what you were in when you sinned. If you were in the law and you sinned, you're going to be judged based upon what you should know about the law, is what it's saying. For it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Remember Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and you find that it is they that speak of me, is what Jesus said. You've got the scriptures, but the scriptures are talking about me. That's what he was saying. And they wanted to kill him. He said, I'm the one. I'm Messiah. I've come. Ah, you blaspheme because you make yourself God. You're a man making yourself God. He said, I'm the God man. He said, y'all need to study up. Y'all need to search the scriptures. You think you got eternal life in the scriptures. They're talking about me. They could not hear him. He was telling them, but they couldn't hear him. But when the Gentiles, which don't have the law, they do the things that are right in the law. That even though they don't have the law, the things that are right becomes a law unto them. You say, well, what about that tribe out in the Aborigines out there that won't let man get close to them? No one ever took the message of Jesus to them. What about them? Well, they've got a society, and in natural man, there is right and wrong. And so there are some things in society that you know that you just should not do. And so if you stay within that confound and you do the right thing and you feed your mother and you take care of your children or whatever they do, or, you know, take your man on your little boy on his man's day or something when he becomes a man in the tribe or something like that. And God is going to judge them based upon where they are. But if you get the same one that's constantly drinking fermented coconut juice or something and staying drunk all day and not taking care of nobody and not doing nothing, don't care, going through stealing the man's food, they go out and hunt and trying to catch up with his wife and you know, and slapping his children in the mouth and everything. And the God's going to judge him based on that. You see? If that never get there. Now, I heard an incident of a tribe similar to that, and a missionary, God miraculously sent a missionary to them and told them about Jesus. And you know what they said? Oh, so that's his name. There was something on the inside of them that knew that we don't know his name, but we know he's real. And the missionary said, his name is Jesus. They said, oh, that's his name. Hallelujah, y'all. God does not lead himself without a witness. And don't worry. Don't worry about the people out in the brush. God got them covered. And how? God's got them covered. Don't worry, Oliver. He's not going to send you to Africa. He might. Hallelujah. We'll have to check with the vet now, though. And, hallelujah. Yeah. And so they show the works of the law. Listen, it's written in their hearts. It's on the inside. It's written in their heart. And that's going to be in that day in 16 when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. He says, now he goes over here and he says, behold, you're called a Jew and you rest in the law and you make your boast. You brag about God. And do you not know, and you know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law? You've got all of the information, and you're confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, that you are a light of them which are in darkness. You are an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Hey. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Oh, wait a minute. Let me slow down a little bit. I know we're running out of time. We don't have to go to the Jew for this, do we? Just go to the institutional church. I'm gonna Gentile this thing here. Go to the institutional church and just watch. And you'll see. You that preach that you should not steal, are you stealing? Oh, hallelujah. Don't steal. You're saying that a man should not commit adultery? And you got about four sisters that you're chasing behind? Ooh. You don't have to go far to see this. You know? You that abhor idols, you commit sacrilege? Do you worship idols? And here's the sad thing about that church. Not only is the leader blind, but the people are blind. You know, they say, well, that's the pastor. We're going to support him no matter what happens. The man is committing adultery with your wife. Well, he the pastor. We're going to buy him another Rolls or another car or something. They just as blind as he is. And oh, he all right. We forgive him. We understand. Boys will be boys, you know. That man needs to be dealt with. He's got no business over God's people. Absolutely no business over God's people. Anyway, verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, You dishonor God. I'm going to Gentile this again. Y'all got the word. We know the word. We know the word. If you know the word and you're still breaking the word, you're dishonoring God. Amen. If you know it and you're breaking the word, you are dishonoring God. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but thou shalt pay. Thou shalt pay if you know it. And listen, a true Christian has no excuse. Because if you know God and if he's your Savior, then the Holy Ghost should be on board inside of you. And the Holy Spirit being inside of you should be that inward alarm that goes off every time you start even thinking the wrong way. Every time you turn in the wrong direction, that alarm should go off, go, whoa, 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 no, whoa, 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 whoa. Something is not right here. If something should come up, even if you kick it out of the way. Do you know, as far as conscience is concerned, in the prison system, those on death row that are there for the worst kind of murder and just crimes of mass murders are sitting on death row? And I've heard of interviews where they go in and interview the one person and he say, well, what about your conscience? Do your conscience bother you about it? He say, well, it used to, but not anymore. Well, why not? He said, I killed my conscience. He killed his conscience. That's the last killing. He killed his conscience. And so if you're not careful, you don't want to push past these warnings and things that come up because you start getting hardened, like arterial sclerosis in the body. You start to harden against these truths when you hear them and you push them away. And you don't turn. You could be saved and going to heaven, but you could find yourself stuck in a rut. And God can't use you in that situation. He can't. And you will be one of the most miserable people in life because you're stuck in that rut. And it's all a matter of repenting and confessing your sin to Him. And He will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The deeper in, the harder it is to admit that what I've been doing for a year shouldn't have been done. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. And he's talking about in Isaiah 52:5. For circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is uncircumcision. Talking to the Jews. Now, you're circumcised, and that's good, and it's great, but you got to keep the law. But if you break the law, don't think that the ceremonial thing that you did there is going to keep you. No, 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 no. It's all of a sudden, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. You become unclean. But not the hearers, but the doers of the law. Therefore, it goes on, says, if the uncircumcised keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Hey, that's us, Gentiles. When they say uncircumcision, they're talking about Gentiles. It's saying Gentiles keep the law unto themselves because they become a law unto themselves if they haven't met Christ. And if they, the Gentiles, walk in accordance with the righteousness of God, the Gentiles are considered the circumcision. You. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress? There is no special privileges with God. That means the Gentiles that live in accordance and with the righteousness of God will judge the unrighteous, even the unrighteous Jew. Talking about circumcision and uncircumcision. All of a sudden, because of the way we may live, God turns our uncircumcision, and it's through Christ, of course, to circumcision. That circumcision is the circumcision, the Bible calls it, of the heart. And so we are circumcised. It makes us, puts us in the place of the Jew. Now, we're going to find later that what God was doing here with the switching of the Jews to the Gentiles and all of this, one scripture says that I will move you to jealousy by a nation who is no people. God uses us to bring jealousy to the Jews. See that? And you ain't got nothing to do with it, so stop laughing. I'm just messing with you. But it's by God's grace that he does that. It's by his wonderful grace. Listen, God's mercy is not giving us what we deserve. And his grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy. Amen. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Again, in the letter, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you find that you have eternal life, in the letter of the law. But you find that it's they that speak of me. Jesus gave a parable one time about a house being built. There in Matthew 7:21, as I close. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou sent. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? That's folks that are working, doing works, doing good things. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity, whose hearts were never right. Do you know that you can join a church just by imitating what you see people do? They will accept you as one of them. They say, well, he got it now. And if everybody go around doing this, and you watch, and you start doing this, and everybody start doing this, and you watch, and you start doing this, and everybody move a little bit, and you watch, and you start moving with them, and you start doing this with them, they say, you got it. He got it. But that's not salvation. I've heard men preach or speak powerful messages. I was at a meeting recently, and he was very, very engaging and very powerful in the way that he spoke, and it was a very highly motivational speech. But he never said anything about Jesus. But at the end of the message, he gave a call for salvation. I'm thinking something, you know, I didn't figure until I was away from there and I started thinking about it. I said, wait a minute. He never said anything about Jesus. So, if the people did respond and nobody did, what would they be responding to? The motivational things that he spoke to, not to Jesus. And many times folks will come forward just out of being excited and say, I'll take it, I'll take it. What are you taking? So whatever he said. And don't have to remember what he said. Amen. And then they say, I'm saved. But they go back and they do the same thing. Nothing, no alarms go off. Nothing changed. They go back just like they were before. But I'm supposed to be saved because I got saved over there at that meeting. The Bible says it's by the preaching of the gospel that men are saved. That's the only way in, by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter was preaching the gospel and men, the tongues hit and 3,000 men were saved. Hallelujah. So those that I just described would be considered workers of iniquity, because they'll come in with the confidence that they're saved and they'll begin to do great things and mighty works and travel around and do things, even lay hands, even cast out devils in the name of Jesus, because the power is there. But when they stand before him, he'll say, depart from me. You work iniquity. I never knew you. Earth. I'm going to finish this verse and I'm going to let you go. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But guess what? That rock was founded upon the earth. The earth was the big rock, and the rock was founded upon the earth. There was no moving that rock. And his house did not fall, because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. The Bible says the fool now says in his heart that there is no God. So we kind of get in here and kind of separate some of this out. A foolish man is a man that says in his heart that there is no God. And so he hears the gospel, he hears the word, but he doesn't do them because he's a foolish man. He's like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's why it is so important to get it right in the beginning. When when we get saved, we should be getting saved properly and correctly. And don't go just grabbing any little thing that somebody can get you excited. You get the folks excited and screaming and carrying on, you say, this must be it, this must be it. You got to make sure that man's talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Because he's the only one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And you need that baptism in order to walk in his righteousness and not be considered a person of iniquity. Did I just mess that up? Was that pretty? Okay. Well, thank God. We better stop. Thank God for your coming. Lord, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to minister your word. Help us, Lord, to hold on to that which is important. And that's the part that we can remember. And trust you for the rest. We bless your name. Lord, bring us back again according to your will and your purpose. Once again, to look into this glorious book of Romans. Thank you for our visitors. And thank you, Lord, for those that came. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.